Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Eldritch Hour. We are an actual play tabletop role-playing podcast focusing on Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition, published by Chaosium. But we do have plans to dabble into other systems in the future. The main theme of our show centers around mystery and horror, and my players are going to encounter all kinds of strange and terrible things as they try to uncover secrets and clues to the unexplainable. As a listener, you do not need to know the rules of the system we are playing to appreciate the show, so just sit back and enjoy. Our first major story arc is titled The Star on the Shore, and is a combination of my own story and of the story and setting of the same name, written by Ben Burns and published by New Comet Games. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on social media. Links are provided in the show notes. We absolutely want to hear from our listeners and get feedback. You can also consider supporting the show by visiting our Patreon page. With that, let's raise the curtain. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, dear listener, to the Eldritch Hour. We are a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Alright, I'm sitting here with Rod.
Hello.
Rod, introduce yourself and tell us who you're playing tonight.
As you said, I am Rod. I will be playing Amos Lockhart. I'm a high school student, part of the newspaper in the local Boston area for my school. I had just moved to Boston from Maine. And I am living by myself in my grandmother's house, who has recently passed away.
All right. Excellent stuff. All right, well, let's get started. It is Sunday, August 14th in 1924. You have... obviously, as you said, you've moved to Boston recently after your grandmother's passing and kind of took up a small inheritance from her and decided to live in her home and finish schooling here in Boston rather than back in Ellsworth. Probably, I would imagine, at the behest of your parents a little bit. But your grandmother, as you've told me, is very important to you. And her passing was actually somewhat unusual. She was obviously up there in years, but not of really declining health. So her passing was a bit sudden. And so you've taken it upon yourself to do some background research just on maybe what's been going on with that, if there's anything leading up to it, just to answer some questions you have surrounding it. And through this, some inquiries, you have... discovered actually a little bit of her family history. She was an explorer earlier in her years, and she had taken a trip at one point down to Peru in South America and came back with another explorer and had brought back a statue of some kind. And there's actually... you ran into a somewhat of a small snag in that many there aren't many records of the statue existing, or at least descriptions of it. There's mention in a bit of her personal journal that you found in her home, And there is record of a few artifacts being brought back from this particular expedition that she went on. And then through that, you kind of tracked a few of those, and a couple of them were brought to here in Boston, to the Chapel of Contemplation in the Copse Hill residence neighborhood. And this chapel is actually a church that your grandmother frequented. So you've taken it upon yourself to, after having read a very recent article in the news about the Boston Museum of Fine Arts acquiring the land to this chapel, because it actually went under a police raid years back, and there was some grisly discoveries, and the Reverend Michael Thomas was convicted and arrested and convicted of several counts of child murder, and put away in prison for multiple life sentences, but also last year recently escaped and has fled the city. His whereabouts are unknown at this point. So the Boston Museum, all of this to say, has taken has recently purchased the land to the chapel and is going to excavate. And as part of the deal, it was purported in the news that the artifacts on the property were going to become part of a collection for the museum. And the groundbreaking ceremony is happening today. You are on your way to photograph it, both out of a photojournalistic desire and to maybe see what exactly it is that your grandmother brought back. Maybe talk to some of the workers and or the museum manager if he is there to find out more. So you're walking down the street, though, towards the cemetery nearby the Copse Hill neighborhood where your grandmother is buried, to kind of give her some, you know, just speak at her grave and give yourself some comfort and tell her that you may have a lead. But as you're walking down the street, you have to come to this covered bridge, and you enter the bridge. And as you enter it, you get a strange sensation of a sudden cold around you. But you don't feel any wind.
What time of year is it?
What are you doing? It is August. And outside, as you were walking here through the neighborhood, it was a sunny, bright 75 degree day. And the moment you entered the bridge, you got hit with a sudden rush of cold.
I don't think I would think much of it. I'd probably be like, oh man, it's, you know, just get the brief little chill and just keep going.
Sure. You go a little bit further. The bridge is a longer one. It actually goes across a small tributary from one of the rivers in Boston. So it's not just over a creek, but it takes the span of almost a city block. And you're about halfway across, and you feel the chill again. And I need you to make a power roll for me.
Roll them.
Ooh. 45 out of 40. You can, if you want, spend luck here to make that a success. Otherwise, you do not have to.
No.
Okay. With the cold, you get just maybe the smallest sense of like a humming in your ears, but it passes very briefly. Maybe it was a mosquito or a fly or something. And then you think you hear a whisper behind you.
I'll immediately just glance over my shoulder.
Yeah, as you turn, you look back down the bridge. Very dark on the inside here. Obviously, you're a far ways in, so there's just the nothing behind you, apparently, but the circular opening with the light on the street from the sun at the far end. But as you turn back, you're not in the bridge anymore in front of you. You're in a tunnel underground.
What the hell? I'm gonna start like kind of freaking out. Like, what is going on? What?
Sure.
When I turn back
make
around,
me a sanity.
Okay. When? All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Make me a sanity roll. Okay. You only lose one here.
Okay.
Just obviously, this is very shocking. But you can't quite explain it. Your mind can't really rationalize it.
Yeah.
Until, you know, surely this is maybe it's a daydream. Maybe, how did you get here?
Right.
You're not so sure. But as you do turn around again behind you,
yeah,
you're still in tunnel. It is now extended both directions. And it is very clearly like it's a circular brick tunnel. And the ground is like large square slate slabs. And there's the dripping of water. The walls look very moist with condensation, like almost cave-like.
All right, I'm gonna put my hands on my knees and just kind of bend over a little bit and like, Amos, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. Wake up, and I'll slap myself across the face.
Okay. Sure. You feel the sting of your own hand. But when you hit yourself, there's a small flash for a moment, just like of not particularly light, but like almost inside your head, like when if you've knocked yourself against, you know, something, like you ran into a door frame or whatever, like that quick sensation of like blindness almost, and then it goes away and you're still standing in a tunnel.
I'm going to assume I'm still dreaming. I'm just going to guess, just walk around and look at what the hell's going on.
Sure. As you kind of examine the walls, like the bricks seem definitely, obviously being brick, it is man-made, but they seem very delicately put together. Like it was very purposeful. It wasn't a rush job. Like this is something that was made to stand the test of time. And it's very dark in here, but you do get some light coming from ahead of you down the tunnel. And as you start to make your way that way, you hear a familiar voice whispering to you from down the tunnel. You swear that it's your grandmother.
Grandma?
Saying, Amos.
Grandma, I'm coming.
Amos.
Where are you?
And Amos. My child. And as you make your way down, the whispering gets less frequent, but louder when you do hear it. Amos. Amos. And then you start to hear sobbing as you reach the end of the tunnel and you're greeted by this large, open, cavernous room with, on the far side, and it's, let's say it's close to 50, 60 feet across in diameter. It's a large circular room, almost a dome. The ceiling is several yards above you. And stalagmites growing from the ceiling and dripping condensation. And about 30 to 40 feet ahead of you at the far end, there is a hunched figure. At this distance, you think maybe they're wearing some kind of, like, latex or rubber, made of, but it's like a, it's a pallid color, very pale and grayish. They're on their knees, hunched over back to you, and the sobbing is echoing through this chamber.
All right. I think at this point I'll remember that I have my camera with me. And
you look down, it's right there around your neck.
Yeah, I'm gonna point the camera at whatever this person is and
okay.
Take a shot.
The flash goes off and the figure in the room does not seem to notice this. So you've gotten a clear shot in front of you.
Okay. After I take the shot and I look and see that it's not moving, I want to look around and take more shots of the area as well.
Absolutely. As you look around, there's actually some strange carvings in the walls. Some depict the sea and towers. Maybe they look like lighthouses, but at least that would be your guess based on the very rudimentary nature of the drawings. Otherwise, they are some kind of obelisks or monoliths just on rocky islands. These are very crude drawings. They must have been done ages and ages ago. And there's other depictions of gatherings of people with arms raised, and some of the people have the heads of fish, and there are others that are where there's fish with anthropomorphic like limbs swimming in the sea up to these shorelines, and there's some kind of language that you can't quite read or understand, runes you've never seen before. And this is plastered all over the at eye level throughout the cavern.
Okay. The room. Yeah. After a little bit of just taking a few pictures, I'm gonna slowly walk towards the person kneeling and just say, "Hello."
Sure. Yeah, your voice echoes through the chamber, and the figure is sobbing still, and you can see as you walk closer, you get a few feet, you can see the shoulders moving with the sobs, like they're hunched over, holding maybe something. You're not sure. At least maybe they're just holding themselves. In front of them, though, is actually a large, as you get closer, you see a large well of sorts that they may be kneeling. They would have to stand to see into it. The wall is almost as tall as they are when they're sitting on the ground, but they're hunched over directly in front of it. Okay. And you can hear some kind of gurgling noise from below in the well, mixed with this figure's sobbing.
I recognize it as drowning.
It does not sound like drowning. Okay. It sounds like maybe animalistic, more like just wet sloshing, almost otherworldly, something you can't quite put your finger on.
I'll just continue walking closer. Are you okay? Can I help you?
Just more sobs, and as you get up, like, how close are you getting?
I go right up to it.
Okay, as you stand right behind it, you've kind of put out a hand to maybe comfort it.
Yeah.
And immediately the figure turns around and you're met with these just lifeless, large, white orb eyes that are on both, like, more angled towards the sides of the face than in front. Not quite fully parallel, but just angled a bit to each side. And the jowls of the face droop a bit, and the skin is pale, and you can see the veins inside of it, and the whole head is a bit elongated, but there is an unmistakable recognition that it's your grandmother. And she grabs you, both hands firmly on your shoulders, not aggressive, but almost in a state of panic, and starts to speak to you in a tongue you don't recognize. And I'll need a sanity roll from you real quick here as you're witnessing this.
Nope.
The state of your grandmother in this, or the sight of your grandmother in this state, and this misshapenness, you're going to lose 1d4.
Of course.
Oh, full value. Yes, this is just so very wrong. Your grandmother never has looked like this before, ever. And how can she be alive? How can she be right here in front of you? But before you can process all of that information, you do make out one phrase that she repeats just in earnest over and over. But it's not in English. It's Abhai Gothan Kadish Tuagul Unsalha. And she just says this over and over and over. And then as you're staring into these white, lifeless eyes, listening to this phrase over and over, echo in your mind, you're greeted by the white of clouds, suddenly, straight above you. And you're laying on your back. And your back is damp. And you must be on the ground. But yeah, her eyes have now just transmorphed into clouds above you, and you're staring at the sky, laying on your back.
Oh my god, what the heck was that? I'll just, like, kind of sit up and look around and see if there's anybody coming or anybody near, and, like, just kind of shake it off and, like, maybe I hit my head or I passed out or something. I'll stand up, dust myself off. Look at my notice. Camera. I know, what do I
yeah. use? You notice you're actually standing, as you stood up and you look around, you're dusting yourself off, you're checking, just make sure nobody's standing around you. You're in the cemetery in front of your grandmother's grave.
This isn't where I was. What the hell was going on? Is it still daytime?
It is still daytime. Feels like, based on the location of the sun, maybe minutes from when you entered the bridge.
Okay. Where is the bridge from the cemetery?
Maybe half a block or so away. Like, the bridge,
it's pretty close.
Starts, like, leads almost to the cemetery gates, okay. But obviously it's connected to a street that runs by the cemetery. Right. So,
but I'm on the other side of the bridge from, like, I crossed the bridge started, and
yes.
got to
yep.
the cemetery.
Okay. You've, yeah, somehow or another, you've crossed the bridge and ended up standing in front of your grandmother's grave, but the passage of time in between is nowhere in your memory.
Yeah, I'll definitely be a little, like, what? just kind of looking around, like, what the hell just happened? And then I'll look at my camera and, like, remember that I took pictures in my dream.
Right.
I don't know that there's, like, a counter or anything on these cameras.
There are, yeah. So with old film cameras, as you would... change it to the next frame. Most cameras of the time would have a small counter mechanism on the inside. You've taken several.
Okay.
The film registers as having been used.
Yeah.
That you've advanced several frames.
Am I in a hurry to get to the stick
you,
site?
Yes, you had left a bit early in the day. It's actually still early morning, but you, based on the article you read in the paper, the groundbreaking was supposed to take place at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And it's about 8:45 now, and it's going to take you about 10 minutes to get to the chapel site. It's not too far away. It's in the neighborhood, but not particularly close, and you wanted to make sure you got there to maybe get a chance to talk to the manager before the groundbreaking took place to ask that it was okay to photograph the area while it was being dug.
Right. I'll kiss my hand and, like, touch my grandma's tombstone and say, I love grandma, and then take off.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Josh Richter, and if you would like to make contact, you can find me on Twitter at TheEldritchHour, or you can email the show at TheEldritchHour@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TheEldritchHour.